Father God, we pray that by the power of your word and by the power of your spirit working in us and through us, we see the hope you've given us in your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you all like to take a seat? Well, here we are in the final few hours, the dying embers of 2017. The old year is passing away. The new is coming. Most people go through something of a period of reflection at the end of the year. There are often teleprogrammes showing the low points of the year, such as the Manchester Arena bomb, or North Korea having their first successful intercontinental ballistic missile test. And the high points, such as Robert Mugabe's resignation after 37 years of rule in Zimbabwe. And then there was the inauguration of Donald Trump as President of the United States. I guess I'll leave it to you to categorise that one. But we also look forward to the new year, usually with hope. We make New Year's resolutions. We have an attitude of new year, new me. Yes, it's true that we often end up making exactly the same resolutions as we made the year before. We're determined to eat a better diet, to improve our health, to move that extra bit of weight that we're still carrying from last Christmas, and to get that bike out of the shed and actually ride it, or pick up that musical instrument that's been gathering dust and actually play it. We usually set our resolutions or goals according to what the Bible calls the flesh. That is, according to worldly standards and values that derive from living as if our physical life is all that matters. That's worth repeating. Living according to the flesh is living according to worldly standards and values that derive from living as if our physical life is all that matters. In our reading today, we're contrasting what it means to be in the flesh against what it means to be in Christ. St. Paul's writing to the people of Corinth. If you'd like to have the passage open in front of you, it's on page 1163 in your pew Bibles. And we're looking at chapter 5. The verse we're actually looking at here is verse 16. In it, Paul tells the Corinthians, "From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." That quote from Paul includes two therefores. Therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, and therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What do these therefores refer to? I'll get on to that in a moment, but for now, just think about what he's saying. That as Christians we should not regard ourselves according to the flesh, that is, living according to worldly standards and values that derive from living as if our physical life is all that matters, and that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. If we're thinking new year, new me, and wanting to recreate ourselves, we're placing our identity firmly in worldly values. Back to the therefores. The first therefore we regard no one according to the flesh, relates to the sentence before it, from verse 14, which says, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, the one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Paul pulls us away from having our identity in the flesh, living for ourselves according to worldly values. He says Jesus died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. The second therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, shows us where our identity really lies. Our identity is in Christ. If you're a Christian, your identity is in Christ. Why is this important, and how does it make you a new creation? In this part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, he's telling them that his actions and the way he lives are a result of his identity being in Christ. Earlier in our reading, verse 12, Paul says, "We're not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what's in the heart." He's saying that the way he lives his life is not so that he can be seen to be doing good works. It's because what's in his heart comes from Christ. He follows that with verse 14, "For the love of Christ controls us, because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." Paul is living for Christ because the love of Christ controls him. We hear the common expression, "I've had a change of heart about such and such." And maybe this is where it comes from. Paul certainly had a change of heart. He went from persecuting Christians to preaching Christ. Genuinely following Christ results in a change of heart, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So we see that being in Christ results in actions that reflect a changed heart. That in itself makes us a new creation, as our identity is in Christ, not in the world. But we're a new creation on a more profound level too. Paul tells us why the love of Christ controls him. He says, "For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, the one died for all, therefore all have died." We know from the Christmas message that the name Jesus means Saviour. We've heard a few times over Christmas, Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, "She'll bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, we know that Jesus accomplished that by dying on a cross. Paul said that Jesus died for all, therefore all have died. How have we all died? Well, if we're in Christ, our sin was nailed to that cross with Jesus, and it died with Jesus. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he gave a long list of sins and concluded it with verse 11, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." The old version of who we were has died and we're born again. When we accept Jesus as our Saviour, we are a new creation. As John chapter 1 puts it, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Sometimes I hear people say they could never be a Christian because they're not good enough, or that they'd feel hypocritical coming into a church because it'd be a pretense of having the virtues, beliefs, principles that they don't actually possess. These are the very people that Christ died for, if they'll believe in his name. They're us. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. Paul follows this in verse 18 with, "All this is from God, who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. God's whole purpose in sending Jesus was to reconcile us to himself, to remove the barrier of sin that separates us from him. However bad the sins we're guilty of, Jesus paid the price on the cross. Some people wonder why Jesus had to die the cruelest, most torturous death. It was because his death had to be able to save even the very worst of humanity. Archbishop Sentamu was recently interviewed by Andrew Marr. He said even Mugabe could be saved if he repented. So, how does that bring us back to our New Year's resolutions? We've seen that Paul was telling the Corinthians that he lived out his life in Christ, not in a fleshly, worldly way, but in Christ. Paul's life was a demonstration of what it meant to be in Christ, and that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, and that Jesus has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Does that mean we shouldn't have worldly resolutions like eating for health or getting that bike out of the shed and riding it, or dusting off that musical instrument and playing it? No, there's nothing wrong with taking care of our bodies. If we're in Christ and Christ is in us, if the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we should take care of our bodies. And we can learn something valuable about our Christian lives from getting that bike out and riding it, or getting that instrument out and playing it, and sticking with it, not giving up after a few weeks. A cyclist is someone who makes riding a bike part of their lives. Terry's a fine organist because he's put years of continuous practice into his playing. As Christians, we keep learning about and practicing being in Christ. That's what makes us Christians. I missed out a therefore, one that also applies to why we should put continuous effort into living for Christ. Our reading today started with a therefore. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others, but what we are is known to God, and I hope it's known also to your conscience. Here, Paul's therefore is also about his previous statement, which wasn't included in our reading. If you got it in front of you, it's verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. As Christians, our sin is not counted against us, but how we live our lives is still judged. If we identify ourselves as a serious cyclist, we can expect to be asked how far or how fast we ride. If we're a musician, people will judge our skill by what they hear us play. So if we identify ourselves as Christians, alongside our other resolutions, we should think about what it means to be in Christ and how we can live better this year for Jesus, who for our sake died and was raised. Let's finish with a prayer. Father God, you've given us a Saviour, your own Son. In him you are reconciling us to yourself, counting our trespasses against him, though he was sinless, and imputing his righteousness to those who believe in him. Help us by your Holy Spirit to live not for ourselves, but for him, and to bring glory to your name. Amen.